Welcome to the Entrepreneurs MBA, bringing you lessons from real-life entrepreneurs they don't teach in business school. Here's your host, business coach and marketing strategist, Adam Kipnis.
As entrepreneurs, one of the biggest challenges is the barriers to growth. How do we grow? How can we do it ourselves? And in that, partners become very important. Who do we hire? Who do we look for? Who do we partner with? What companies do we go for? In the entrepreneurial experience, it can feel really painful to hire an outside consultant or to bring in a third party, but it can be very critical to growing. We're going to talk about how that works and how you can think about it and how business owners should think about looking for partners and utilizing partners, whether it's technology, whether it's sales. Those are the two biggest we see. This is Adam Kipnis, host of the Entrepreneurs MBA podcast, sponsored by Network Together. Go to ntevents.net to go to networking groups all over the country, but done virtually. In addition, thanks to C-Suite Radio for hosting and promoting the podcast. Today's guest, Rick Stoddard, is a longtime professional in the sales, technology, and consulting role, working with business owners like yourselves. So we're going to talk about how to find people like him, how to know it's the right person, and what value those third parties can bring. Rick, thanks for joining me today and having this conversation.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Fantastic. In your experience, you started with an accounting degree. We're not going to talk about accounting, but that's where you came from. But you went right into business and sales pretty much immediately. Tell us about how did you get into sales and how did you grow in that portion of your career onto being starting your own companies and other?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So my degree is in accounting. However, it was always a desire of mine to be more educated in the sales arena. My father was a professional salesperson. I observed him and we talked a lot about, his career and how I may be able to grow my own competence in that area. So I had I interviewed with Xerox right out of college, and I had the opportunity to go work with them. And I had the privilege of experiencing some world-class training, and that was a great foundation that really launched my career in sales. But it was also from there, I got involved in several endeavors and one in several that I started. I happened to get into technology along the way. So where I am today, I've certainly experienced working in technology world. And I think I've got a fairly interesting perspective on innovation and how to work with a lot of different companies.
I bet. And your experience and even bringing the accounting training into it is critical for any entrepreneur that you work with. How does the math work? How do your resources fit from a number standpoint? So even that background, but every entrepreneur that you work with and the companies that you target can be valued from both sides of your experience, the technology side and the sales side. And in your roles as a consultant, as a salesperson, what do your clients look for? Like, if you put yourself in their shoes, what are they looking for where technology is an important factor? Because a lot of business owners miss it because they don't even know it's available because they're so busy doing their jobs.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you what they don't want. They don't want someone just selling them. They absolutely don't want it. They want a trusted advisor. They want someone that that they feel comfortable they're going to have a conversation with. And at the end of that conversation, by the way, there could be a recommendation. Like in my case, I could have a recommendation for the services, the company I represent. But more importantly, if there was someplace else that would be a better fit, then that's going to be my recommendation. So always putting that client, that customer first, and asking a lot of questions and not telling them what I'm going to do for them.
Yes, and I love the term trusted advisor, because when We all know when someone comes into our office that their ultimate job is to get us to use their product or service, or at least pitch their product or service, right? How do you balance the trusted advisor side versus the revenue side, right? Because it's important that you and your company are served by getting more clients and driving revenue. But if you sell the wrong clients and they don't get what they need, it's a blemish on your side. They're not going to have a great experience. It doesn't help. How do you mentally balance that? And then how does that translate to your clients?
Yeah. Well, I think, again, you're right. I mean, certainly the conversations that I'm having, is there an opportunity for my company? But what I've learned over time is that what you never know is if you have a rewarding conversation with someone, you never know who they might recommend you to as well. So again, there may not be a direct fit, and you don't, I would certainly encourage what people don't want. Again, they don't sold. They want to be in a conversation of what would make a difference for them in their business. And in that conversation is where you uncover really where is that connection? Where is it that you could actually assist them? Does that make sense?
It makes total sense, because the sale is not in what you deliver. The sale is in the questions that you ask that allow someone to tell you what they really want and need. How do you go into those conversations to uncover, as a business owner, I don't know what I need until you allow me to find the holes, so to speak. Yeah. So in that conversation, how do you help business owners identify where their gaps are, where their holes are?
Well, it's likely I've got a reasonable idea where there may be some challenges, and it's really in the questioning. When I meet with people, I'll probably in that conversation I may talk 20-30% of the time. So it's asking the kinds of questions that really have people do the type of critical thinking that could make a difference. And that's really a differentiator. That doesn't happen enough. And when someone is in those kinds of conversations, it elevates you as well as, again, in that role of being a trusted advisor.
Very true. And I don't want to date either one of us, but if you think about the technology that you were probably selling at Xerox when you started to technology today, not only in what it delivers, but in how businesses can be supported by it. Talk a little bit about, because with a copier, it helps business. But now technology can replace people. It can replace resources. It can save time. It can build capacity. Talk a little bit about just the technology landscape that you see where you support your clients.
Well, it's all about accelerating innovation. The world of innovation is exploding. And by the way, the pandemic we're involved in right now is only accelerating that whole environment. So we're moving faster and faster. And technology is enabling us. So it's really it's being aware of what's coming, and how. And it's not so much what it is today, but I should refer to, there was something that Wayne Gretzky talks about, right? It's about skating to where the puck is going to be, and that is the kinds of conversations that I love having with my prospects and my clients. Where's the puck going to be? And that's where I want to assist them.
And I love that quote. It's got so many uses, and I think we've probably all used it in some way, shape, or form. But and you put me down a question road that I want to take you through, which is, when is the right time? Right? The right time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. But for a business, some businesses can have the luxury of investing for the future, like you were talking about, because they've got the resources to plan. Others are so in the moment that they're stuck and they're hoping this technology can create savings, capacity, whatever they need. How do you help your clients in either situation, the ones that need it yesterday or the ones that need it tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, I think it's really prompting an honest conversation of where they are from a financial standpoint, what's really the view of the market that they're addressing, and by the way, are they on point? Because many times, especially when I talk to startups, one of the first questions I ask all of them, why? What is your why? I don't care what the solution is. What's the why behind it? And if they can begin to answer those kinds of questions, it has a tremendous impact on clarity moving forward. So it's all about that foundation that you have today. How can you enhance it? Or how can you leverage that? Because you've got a great solid foundation. And how do you leverage it when it comes to acceleration?
No, very important, very important. For business owners that are listening, for business owners that are going to see us on social media and everywhere else, it's easy to get involved in the day-to-day and move forward. You know that you need to think strategically. You know that you need to probably make investments. But the world can get away from us, right? In pandemic land that we're in right now, the world moved very fast for a lot of businesses. They didn't necessarily have time to seek someone like you out for the advice on what they should do. How can you speak to business owners? What should they be looking for in their own businesses to know, hey, it's time to call Rick. It's time to look for a third party. It's time to get a little bit more advice in the business. They all need it, but they don't always recognize it. How do you help them recognize it?
Yeah. Well, I think the struggle is, you're asking me, really there's many different facets of what you're asking, right? But it's where are they stuck? Okay. If they can first begin to just think about, and that's the point you bring up is so true. Most entrepreneurs get so in the business that they're not able to really see, raise themselves above mentally and begin to look at the business and how to work on it. So that's really the conversation, is to be able to guide them to begin to look at working on the business and not be so intensely focused on being in the business. We all get stuck with the actions, the tactics, and those are all important, but you got to have clarity of mind to really execute on a very high level. So those are the kinds of things. Again, it's just the conversation that will prompt some of that kind of thinking. And what's always interesting is what pops out. And many times I have a pretty good idea, but if that innovator or that entrepreneur can speak it himself and he sees something maybe he didn't see before, that's really powerful.
Yeah. And that's where someone like you can make that happen, right? We can all have conversations with ourselves, but if we bring one other person into it, it changes it overnight. In your career, I think all salespeople are entrepreneurs, whether they think of themselves or not. They have to go and create every minute of every day by getting new leads, getting new contacts, and then bringing the business home. But you've been in sales roles, you've started your own companies, you've sold for other companies. So you've sat in every seat that every entrepreneur has to be in. How does that background help you in your conversations and the advice you provide to your clients and prospects?
Well, I think it gives, I've worked with Fortune 500s to clear down to startups. So there's, again, there's different types of thinking, all according to the size and environment of the company. So I think it allows me to be able to work with funded startups, early stage, Series A, all the way up to enterprise companies. And be in a kinds of conversation, again, that's engaging and not quote unquote selling something. And by the way, I don't care who you are, we're all selling.
Yes, agreed.
We, And some people, you know, they resist that whole, you know, using that word, you know, that's fine. But the fact is, if you want to accomplish anything in life, there is an element of salesmanship that's involved.
And to those people who don't want to admit that necessarily, right? Some people say, well, I don't sell. Mm-hmm. We all sell and we all advise. Where do you see the two intersecting for your clients when you support them? The advice versus the sale.
Yeah. I think it's an easy transition. And I'll tell you honestly, what usually happens, they tell me. It's not that I have to like close them. I actually, the conversation is just a natural progression that the light bulb goes off and they're the one that says, you know, we need to get started on this. So it's, you know, that's what's interesting about these kinds of conversations.
It's fascinating when you have a conversation with someone and they inherently know that you're in the room for a reason. You're the right person at the right time for the right reason for their business. When a company takes on new technology, I want to talk a little bit about the technology experience in general. Taking on new technology can be very disruptive. The excitement of the sale for them, buying something that they know is going to be supportive, is great. But now comes the hard work of the implementation and getting it right. Talk a little bit about how businesses can position themselves properly to implement new technology so it's successful and where you support them.
Yeah. Well, there's many facets to that as well, but it's certainly, where are they as a company of having a core team in place that, you know, if we're talking about technology, do they have people that understand technology? Do they understand the software arena? Having that type of expertise, it really, for the company I currently work with on Cora, if you don't have a core tech team in place, it probably is not going to be, you know, we're not going to engage in a relationship today. Now, at some point in time later, possibly. But the thing is how do you, once you have that core team, how do you leverage the resources to be able to grow as fast as possible? Because again, if you're a SaaS software company, it's all about velocity. So how do you structure it? Who do you talk to that maybe can educate you on how to do that? One of the biggest mistakes people make, a lot of people make that I talk to, is they have made decisions not necessarily based on research and really trying to understand the process, but what they think is the right thing to do, or they get sold. And unfortunately, a lot of times they have a bad experience. So it's really, it's being educated in a way, and that's a lot of what I do, I educate. And that I think that's a very powerful way to engage with people. Focus on educating them first.
Agreed. If you go into the features and benefits and all the bells and whistles too fast, people can get lost in what's going to happen. If you educate them on why it's going to work and where it's going to be of value, then those features, benefits, bells and whistles become all the more valuable.
Oh, absolutely. And there's always a story to be told, right?
Right.
On both sides. So if we can actually be in the kinds of conversation, we're sharing stories, it's so engaging. And people, I mean, I can actually visually see, like, if I could see barriers, I could see them actually disappearing because people are opening themselves up because they're so engaged.
That's awesome. As we wrap up, just I think one or two final questions. One is, in the sales process, it's important to have the right decision makers at the right time. The person writing the check may not be the person who needs to know what's going on. How do you work with companies to make sure that not only the the economic buyer, the person who's ultimately writing the check, understands the value of what you're delivering, but the tech team that you're going to work very closely with and on the implementation side knows that it's the right product. How do you engage companies to make sure that all of those are unified so you have a successful outcome?
Yeah, well, it's according to the size. I mean, obviously, the bigger the organization, the more complex.
Yep.
And it's, you got to map the organization. You got to really understand, you know, who has a, who's going to participate in the decision-making process? Who is the ultimate decision-maker? Those are things you need to know prior to actually going in and, you know, talking to C-level executives. You got to have a pretty good idea of what the landscape is. And if you do, it's just going to make those conversations go that much better. And you're not going to waste as much time.
Yes. And you're going to look like you you did some research, you're smart, and you're educated on their business, not just yours.
You will actually look like a professional.
That's a good thing. And last thing for me, when you're looking right now and you're saying, all right, for Rick, here's my ideal client. Who are you looking for right now? And who's the right person for you to initiate a conversation with?
Yeah. So, so from a company standpoint, one of the focuses for me and for our company is SaaS software companies. Okay, this is good. This could be a funded startup, at least a Series A. It could be we have companies that are at enterprise level in this space, but it's a company that's maybe 50 people up to 500. They have a product. They're off to the races. And they and innovation acceleration is something they're challenged with, and that's where we can actually play with them and access global talent to facilitate that.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate the time and just your vast experience and what you've done in your career and how you provide advice on the sales and technology side, which are so critical to businesses. I really appreciate you taking the time to explain it, Rick.
Absolutely. Thank you, Adam.
You're very welcome. And thanks, everyone, for listening to today's episode of the Entrepreneurs MBA.
You've been listening to the Entrepreneurs MBA. Download Adam's free book, How to Make More Money in Your Business, at www.freebookfromadam.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.